Welcome to the July 31st dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Ellen Plummer. Plus, there were additional reflections by Nancy Bodenhorn and Reverend Jamie McReynolds. Those listed above were UUC's delegates to this year's UUA General Assembly in Portland, Oregon. Today we hear reflections on their experiences, what inspired them, and how we might reimagine UUC as a faith community.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. My name is Ellen Plummer, and I'm leading worship this morning with the other delegates from the UUC for this year's Unitarian Universalist Association General Assembly in Portland, Oregon. My sister, brother, delegates are Nancy Bodenhorn, Jamie McReynolds, and our minister, Rev Pam Phillips. We also had surprise additional representation with Erwin, who joined us for the public parts and for lots of services, which was cool. It was very cool. If you are with us for the first time, we are really glad you have found us. You are so very welcome here, and we look forward to getting to know you. You'll find a link to the virtual visitor's card in the chat, in Zoom, or a paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow today that you'd like to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat or cards in the back of the sanctuary near the entrance, and we'll collect those during our opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at our calendar on our website for times, location, Zoom links, and contact information. Thank you to all of the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make all of these activities possible. Rev Pam has some additional announcements.
Good morning. Because Montgomery County is back in the yellow, and actually most of the surrounding counties, we're encouraging mask wearing, and we will be serving coffee after the service, thanks to Sally Pfeiffer. I also just wanted to let those of you who know Tom Buby and Maud Steinberg, their wedding is this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and all are welcome to attend, but if you are attending, it'd be nice to click on the link in the announcements and RSVP so that we know you will be here. I'm really excited for this wedding. I'm also looking around the room and wondering about all the people who are missing and wondering if they are up at Floyd Fest getting rained on. So you hearty souls who came out this morning, I see you and appreciate you. So let's go ahead and greet our neighbors. We're going to go ahead and put the folks up on Zoom, up on the screen, so that we can see who is with us today. And if you would write in the chat where you're joining us from, I'll let people here know who is here and from where. And Anita says, good morning from Blacksburg, Apperson Park. Anita's up there. Victoria is at home at Yellow Sulphur Springs. Susie and Gail say good morning from Galax, Bill Baker at Warm Hearth Village, Anne from Pulaski, Bill from Floyd, Denise from Blacksburg on Primrose Drive, Patty from Mossy Springs, Nana Bodenhorn from Grand Rapids, Michigan, Seth from Christiansburg, Helen from Ferrier Lane in Newport, Jim and Sally from Ellet Valley, Sharon from Blacksburg, Casey from Highland Park, Jill and Rich from Blacksburg, and Tommy Iafredi says, hello from somewhere on 84 in Pennsylvania.
Oh my God.
Tommy, I hope you are not driving. Oh, and Wayne New, who is going to be our song leader today, says at home in bed and not having any fun. He's got COVID. Dan is joining us from Heathwood. We are so glad that you all are here with us today. Now, everyone in the sanctuary, take a look around. See who is here. Catch the eye of someone you have not met before, maybe wave, and then get ready to wave to the people at home. We'll turn on this camera. There's Brian. We love having his music and waving. Earl noticed this morning when we had some music playing, and she goes, did you choose the theme from Portlandia on purpose? Because that's where we were for General Assembly. It is so good to be together again. And so we have greeted one another. Let's go ahead now and make some sacred space.
Please join me in reading the words that are on our screen as we light our chalice this morning. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. We'll open worship this morning with the words spoken by Reverend Alicia Ford during the Service of the Living Tradition, a service that is held annually at our General Assembly that honors folks that have passed and folks that are coming as religious leaders in our tradition. These words were written by W.E.B. Du Bois. Now is the accepted time, not tomorrow, not some more convenient season. It is today that our best work can be done, and not some future day or future year. It is today that we fit ourselves for the greater usefulness of tomorrow. Today is the seed time. Now are the hours of work. And tomorrow comes the harvest and the playtime.
Good morning. So our current UUA principles. Instead of our congregational covenant, today we'll read the covenant between and among the congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association. So if you want to read them with me, if you feel comfortable doing that. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, and respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part.
So this morning our delegates, your delegates to the UUA General Assembly will be sharing reflections on their experiences in Portland this past June. This is the first year we've actually been able to meet in person since the pandemic started, and four of us traveled out west. But actually, like our Sunday services, like this morning, General Assembly was dual platform, and there were actually more people online than there were physically in Portland, which made it a different kind of feel. And actually, we were in Portland in 2015, I think. And I have to say, it was hard to be in Portland and to see what those years have wrought in that city. The homeless, the population there has just exploded, and it was sad to see how many people were living on the streets. But it was so good to be together. And as Ellen said, Earl was there and joined us for the worship services, which was really great and one of my favorite parts of General Assembly, because we get to hear the really great preachers. And some of you got to witness some of that preaching. Victoria Taylor showed parts of the Sunday worship service. But GA is also the time when the UUA does the business of the association, like voting on bylaws and electing board and committee members, hearing reports and honoring volunteers. And this year, Reverend Bill Sinkford was the honoree of the Award for Distinguished Service. He's a past president of the UUA, not once, but twice. And I have a picture of him sitting next to Isabel Burney in the old sanctuary. So he's actually spoken here in this congregation, I think on his way down to Soucy. This year's general sessions were also a time for listening to theological framings from some of the greatest minds in Unitarian Universalism, presidents of our seminaries, theologians, and ministers who often were working in social justice. And so it wasn't just business, it was really reflecting on our theology as a denomination. And there were a variety of workshops to attend, a lot about the business of doing church, but also more inspirational workshops. But as anyone who has ever been to General Assembly, raise your hand if you've been to one, just a few of us, you know, don't you, that being with hundreds and even thousands of Unitarian Universalists is incredibly powerful. Now, Nancy Bodenhorn can't join us in person. She's up with the grandkids in Michigan. So it's especially appropriate that she'll be joining us on video, because that's how some of the speakers at General Assembly joined us. So let's listen to Nancy's reflection.
Good morning, beloveds. My name is Nancy Bodenhorn. I use the pronouns she and her. I am a late midlife woman with white ear-length hair and hazel eyes. I am wearing brown glasses and a bright blue March for Our Lives t-shirt. That was the way that each of the UU leaders introduced themselves to the General Assembly attendees. I do not think I will pick up the habit of referring to y'all as beloveds, but I do appreciate the consideration of inclusion for those with vision impairments. That was one of the very practical lessons that I learned at GA. There were others, but what I want to focus my time on today is Friday, June 24th. Friday morning, I woke up and turned on the news, which included the announcement that the Supreme Court had overturned the Roe precedent. After my initial shock and despair, I thought, this is where I want to be on this day, surrounded by my people, 1,000 other Unitarian Universalists. And I am in Portland, where they know how to protest. So I headed over to the convention center. In the midst of our entire group of people in shock and despair, the moderator indicated that she was not sure the day would proceed as planned, and they would let us know throughout the day what plans were being made. Then the UUA president took the stage and introduced herself through tears as, "I am Susan Frederick Gray. I wear my Side of Love stole. I am a furious middle-aged woman with light brown hair. And in my body, I am roiling between holy rage and heartbreak and fear. If you are angry, you are welcome here. Your anger and heartbreak and your fear are welcome here. Spirit of life, hear our prayers. May this day be rooted in faith. rooted in a faith that is unapologetically in support of access to abortion for all who need or want it. Give us strength for this day and for all the days ahead, because this is going to be a years-long struggle. To win back the right to abortion, to bodily autonomy, root us in faith, in collaboration, and courage. Knit us together in solidarity that leaves no one behind, not women, not trans people, not people of color, not the incarcerated, not migrants. We UUs remain committed, not in spite of our religious beliefs, but because of our religious beliefs. Spirit of Life, give us the courage for this day and all the days ahead, and light in us a fire of justice that will not go out. Root us in love. Hold us fast at that which we seek most high and righteous, the liberation of all. Her words captured all my feelings and reactions, which I found so validating and comforting, and which I needed. I felt completely accepted, understood, and at home with 1,000 previous strangers. Later in the day, we joined a march and rally organized locally, and so many of the people there were UUs. I admit I had not been part of a march for years, and it felt invigorating to be part of a huge crowd of like-minded people again. I marched with 2 late midlife UU women from Portland who kept trying to get songs and chants started, like the old days. The UU president also spoke at that rally to rousing cheers and applause for her call to justice. The beginning and end of that day are what I am most likely to recall from GA in a few years. Much of the business was actually fascinating, and I anticipate going again to participate in that. But for GA 2022, the rooting of social action squarely in the UU faith in an immediate call to action is what will stick with me. Thank you. Have a good day.
Didn't it feel like she was just right here with us?
Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy. Our practice is to share the offering with a local or a UU-affiliated organization every week, and this week's recipient is the Unitarian Universalist Trauma Response Ministry, which provides culturally sensitive spiritual care to survivors of mass disasters and other significant trauma. Now, one of the workshops that I attended at General Assembly was led by Reverend Rosemary Bray McNatt and Reverend Julie Taylor, who were instrumental in starting the UU Trauma Response Ministry because of their experiences. They were both serving churches in New York City on 9/11. And I believe that the UU Trauma Response Ministry came to Blacksburg in 2007. And given the news of so many disasters, of flood and fire and heat across this country, we know that the work of this ministry is needed. So please give generously online using the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on the screen. You'll be able to give after the service as well. And for those of you in the sanctuary, if you'd like to give cash or check, there's a basket in the back of the sanctuary. And we do thank you for your generosity. Now, as we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Brian playing Imagine, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. Please remember to maintain distance between yourself and others. For those of you online, if you would like a candle lit, write it in the chat and we'll light that afterwards. Please join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end. And a final candle for all those joys and sorrows, hopes and remembrances that are left unspoken. We know they are here in this space, virtual and otherwise, and we hold them in our hearts. I invite you now into a time of meditation and prayer. Take a breath. Settle yourself in your seat. Soften your shoulders. Soften your gaze. Maybe close your eyes. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, we are so grateful for this community of faith and for the opportunity to gather together, however we gather. And we are grateful to know that we are part of a larger movement filled with people who share our values and commitment to creating a better world. Spirit of life, be with us and give us courage and strength as we strive to do what we can. Be with us too as we navigate the time ahead, learning about the ways the world is changing and the ways we may be called to change ourselves to meet its needs. Be with all those who are suffering. Lead us to ways to alleviate that suffering. In the name of all that is holy, amen, and blessed be. So one thing I forgot to say about General Assembly that I have to remind you all about is that I get to celebrate my anniversary every year on General Assembly because Jamie and I met in Salt Lake City at the General Assembly then. Woo-hoo! And look what happened since then. So I'll invite Jamie up to give us his reflection.
One of my favorite hymns is, "Where Do We Come From?" Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we tried that one. It's a great hymn, though. Part of our work as your delegates to the 2022 General Assembly was learning about the work to update Article 2 of our Unitarian Universalist Association bylaws. Exciting stuff, right? Actually, the contents of Article 2 answers those questions: where we've come from, who we are, and where we're going as a denomination. Since the Unitarians and Universalists merged in 1961, Article 2 has included our principles, initially only 6, but eventually the current 7 principles, which we read earlier in the service. Likewise, Article 2 includes 5, now 6 sources of our living tradition, including the direct experience of transcending wonder, mystery and wonder, words and deeds of prophetic people, wisdom from the world's religions, Jewish and Christian teachings, humanist teachings, and spiritual teachings of earth-centered religions. That last one was added most recently. You can find them written out more fully in the front of the gray hymnal. The principles and sources are the main elements of Article 2 of the UUA bylaws. They describe where we came from, who we are, and where we're going. Pretty important stuff. And they are in the process of being revised. The last time we substantially revised our principles and purposes was in 1985. Much has changed in the last four decades. We have a deeper understanding of systemic oppressions, such as racism, ableism, and heteronormative beliefs. Many people feel the language of Article II does not reflect those learnings, and that we need an Article II which leads us into the future. As we reimagine radical faith community, we're exploring how we can engage most effectively as a community of congregations. The UUC is one of 1,048 member congregations worldwide in the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. The Article II Study Commission made presentations at the General Sessions, sharing the results of their work and asking us to give them feedback. A key part of the Commission's work was defining our shared values, which are currently missing from our bylaws, which they think should form the basis of our covenant. We often refer to our UU values, but they're not written down anywhere. So the Commission asked a number of different groups, what are our core shared values? And there were some basic similarities across all groups. From their answers, the Commission discerned seven interrelated values. So you can see they're in a circle with love at the center, and they're all interrelated because you can't have one without at least one of the others. So as you see from what's on the screen there, the seven are pluralism, diversity, justice, equity, generosity, evolution, which I also call transformation, interdependence, and love at the center. Delegates were given a chance to talk amongst ourselves about these values, whether they resonated with us or not. Take a look at the values. Do they resonate with you? Are these UU values we share in common? Is something missing? Good thing to talk about in the social hour. They also talked about the importance of covenant. Remember that UUism is a non-creedal faith with no specific sacred texts. Our faith relies on covenant to hold us together, expressing our intentionality of care and commitment to each other. Our current covenant is to affirm and promote our seven principles. While the principles are a beautiful expression of our ideals, what we need to understand are the actions that our shared values call us to. And we need to commit to more than just affirming and promoting our values. So they asked us this question: what would it look like to create a covenant, the thing that binds us together, that is explicitly grounded in our shared values, but also included the verbs that we needed to take action? And they invited us to think about it this way. Consider filling in the blanks for each one of the shared values. So because we value, say, love, we covenant to, what action would we take for that? So for example, because we value equity, we covenant to use our resources of time, wisdom, attention, and money to make our communities fully accessible, equitable, and free. That's a lot. But given our shared values, can you think about what actions they might call us to do? How might you fill in those blanks? Because we value, we covenant to what? It makes me think of a talk given by Julia Butterfly Hill, so some of you might remember, as an environmental activist that spent 500 days up in a redwood tree to try and protect the redwood forests in California. At one of her talks, a woman walked up to her and said, "I am so inspired by your talk." And Julia Butterfly Hill replied, "Inspired to do what?" Finally, they shared a draft statement on inspirations that could replace the current six sources statement. As Unitarian Universalists, we draw upon and are inspired by the full depth and breadth of sacred understandings as experienced by humanity. Grateful for the religious pluralism that enriches our faith, we are inspired to ever deepen and expand our wisdom. What do you think? I like the current six sources statement, and I was kind of resistant to changing it to a paragraph like that. But the point that they make is that six sources can never be fully inclusive, and we're a living tradition that's constantly changing. So this is kind of a wider statement. I think of the wisdom that we get from Mary Oliver. So the Article II Commission will be using our feedback and working until the next General Assembly in June 2023 in Pittsburgh, where the delegates will be voting on the revisions to Article II. If the vote passes, it will be voted on a second and final time at General Assembly. Article II is important enough that they want it voted on in two subsequent General Assemblies. If the vote fails, Article II will remain unchanged. All of these changes call us to consider, in what ways will the new language of Article II challenge our consciences and draw us into deeper community? How will the new language help us to think about, where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going?
Bylaws. This is powerful stuff. And one thing I want to emphasize is the fact that that is draft language, that they're still working on it. And they even said, some of these words aren't exactly right, but maybe one of you knows the right word. So I encourage you to think about it and to offer your feedback and to go to General Assembly next year in Pittsburgh so you can vote. But it's not just about voting, so Ellen is going to share one of her reflections on General Assembly.
One of the responsibilities I had at GA this year was to serve as a co-teacher for a class on polity, fancy word for governance and decision making. So we had 10 students, and some of you may be aware that I'm a bylaws and constitutional wonk. I'm a governance wonk. And class was fascinating because the seminarians in our class were invited to reflect on and chew on all of these changes in light of the association's desire to advance justice. So it was very, very rich. And one of the words that my classmates reacted to super strongly in some really interesting ways was the word evolution. So I'll be very curious to see how we might adjust that particular word so that we come up with a word that indicates, I'm going to use the word adaptation and progress, that isn't quite as, fraught, great word, fraught. There's another word, maybe we should put that in there too, because Lord knows we can do that. General Assembly is big church, and it's a real joy for me to participate and be in big church. And I don't mean high church, right? High church is what you get if you go to the UU church in Charleston, South Carolina. That's high church, right? Formal and very ritualistic. This is not that. This is just big. It's big in size, thousands of UUs participating in person and online, and there's nothing like standing there singing Spirit of Life with all of these people who know it by heart. It took me back to my Girl Guide days when you were at camp singing Make New Friends and Keep the Old, right? It's just like everybody knows the words and is digging it. JA is also big in our association's business and bureaucracy. And GA can have a big impact and has had a big impact on my thinking about my faith. General Assembly is where I go to learn and practice what it means to be Unitarian Universalist, which for me is a journey that continues and is certainly not complete. This is no small feat for me. As a creedless faith, there is no one source that directs the various theologies that comprise those of us who identify as Unitarian Universalist. At General Assembly, I appreciate the opportunity to hear lectures and sermons, attend workshops and worship services, and participate in the wildly diverse ways in which you use, express, and practice our faith. This year, I attended the Berry Street Essay Lecture. It is a significant honor and a milestone for any one of us to be invited to deliver this lecture, which was started in 1820 at William Ellery Channing's Unitarian Church in Boston. This year, the lecture was delivered by the Reverend Michael Slack, and his essay, his lecture, continues to inspire my thoughts. Rev. Michael is a community minister with Black Lives of Unitarian Universalism. He also is on the board of trustees of Star King School for the Ministry, and I enjoy serving with him as a trustee of that, of my seminary now. He is quite a remarkable person. The title of his lecture is More Faith, Power, and People: Breaking the Cycles That Separate Us from Unitarian Universalism. After some opening words, Rev. Michael said this, quote, "It matters that we have been and continue to be at a crossroads in our movement. When we have to decide if we are going to actually be the robust, innovative, dynamic, and worthwhile for all of us faith we say we want to be, or if we are going to coast along in the muddiness that conflict and praxis avoidance builds, and therefore we lose the people who, I would argue, Unitarian Universalism is actually built for. Praxis avoidance. Fancy. Wow. Praxis is the practice of art, science, theory, or in this case, theology. Rev. Michael called us out for avoiding conflict and for not practicing our UU commitments to justice and equality, for not practicing our theologies. UU congregations and our association have embraced anti-racism and its work as a priority. And yet members of our communities continue to feel alienated and hurt and leave our congregations and our association. While UU covenants express our promises to each other, Rev. Michael's challenge is for us to actually do what our faith and covenants state we do. Covenants and the values of our faith are not aspirational. Our responsibilities as UUs is to do our anti-racist values. This practice of our theology is individual and communal and requires change. Michael states, "It is up to us to lay claim to our highest good as Unitarian Universalists, to make this not so new reality, grounded in commitment, reshaping, and UU culture that matches the values we proclaim, to make it stronger and help lay clearer pathways for it to be realized. This shift to unapologetically live into our fullness will keep us alive and usher us into deeper thriving as a faith. But We have to stop saying that UUs can believe whatever we want or nothing at all. We have to proclaim a belief in the power of stories and what Rev. Michael calls be-ologies and do-ologies that uplift the very best of who we are and who we are becoming and do no harm. What might we be called to change in order to live out the values our UU movement and theologies espouse that we are about? How do I challenge myself to continue my anti-racist work in more robust ways as a UU, as an aspiring UU minister? I really do believe the future of our denomination relies on and is dependent upon living into the UU values we proclaim.
So the theme of General Assembly was meeting the moment, reimagining radical faith community. You've heard some of what we talked about. And it may seem like it's really far away. It's those people up in Boston. What does it have to do with us? Ever since I started going to General Assembly, I've always felt frustrated that I can be in the company of so many Unitarian Universalists and hear these incredible messages and want to take them home to my congregation back in Charlottesville when I started, and to say, look at these things that they're doing, let's do it too. But that's out there. What's happening in here? The other thing that I get frustrated by is that there are so many resources from the UUA, from other congregations, that we could be using instead of reinventing things ourselves. Sometimes we do a really good job with it. I think about our Soul Matters program. It's not strictly from the UUA, but that's a program that we have taken and made it our own, and it has been a thriving ministry of this congregation. But I guess the other thing I want people to understand is that the Unitarian Universalist congregation in Blacksburg is not alone. We are part of a much greater movement. And if we take the opportunity to connect between and among other congregations, if we get engaged in UU the Vote, our efforts get multiplied. One of the things that, did you say about the broken principles? I don't think you did. One of the things that I heard the Article 2 Commission talk about was at one of their open meetings, somebody said, what is so broken about our principles that they need fixing? And their response is, there's nothing broken about our principles. What's broken is this world. So I encourage us in the year ahead, as we meet the moment of our time, of our space in the New River Valley, to look outward to the resources that the Unitarian Universalist Association offers us. Look close to home. See how the world here is broken. And then develop a be-ology and a do-ology that can help us heal the world. And one of my favorite songs that reminds us that we can and do have a responsibility to do what we can to create heaven on earth is Answering the Call of Love. So I'll invite Brian to get ready to play it. This is one of those songs that changed because our understanding changed. Jason Shelton initially called it Standing on the Side of Love. That's what my stole says. Some of our colleagues who can't stand, who are disabled, said, that leaves us out. We want to be part of this song too. And so instead of arguing with them, Jason said, how about answering the call of love? We can all do that. So I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and let's sing Answering the Call of Love. It's in the teal hymnal. I don't know what number it is. Number 1014 if you need the music, but the words will be up here. Light of truth, not the warmth of community, nor the fire of commitment. Let us take these out into the world until we are together again.